Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show, and I'm buzzing to get into this one. We're joined in studio now by Fergal Maganetti? Maganetti, okay, close enough. Not close enough
close,
at all, of course.
Close, yeah.
And he is chair of the Northwest Beekeeping Association. Great to have you in studio with us.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Bit of a theme here, because over the last while, since the start of this year, there's been a few different items that have popped up. The about honey, the benefits of that, you know, obviously the preservation of bees. And now here we are talking to you, Chair of the Northwest Beekeeping Association. How big is the association? How big is the beekeeping community in the Northwest compared to the past? Like, is it growing? Is it on a bounce back, or where are we at?
Yeah, I would say it's growing quite rapidly, actually. There's a huge interest now in beekeeping. There's awareness about pollination and all that. Kids are learning that in school, obviously, and bringing that back to their parents. And so a lot of people are getting interest in beekeeping. It would have been a big thing in the past. Like, I'm meeting so many people nowadays said, oh, my dad kept bees, or my grandfather
kept
bees.
That's my memories. You have neighbours with everybody. Bees and stuff.
It's amazing. And then they kind of died away for a long time, and now it's coming back again.
So your primary interest then in keeping bees, is it the hobby of sort of, you know, looking after them as such? Is it, were you an early adopter to the importance of their future and their pollination? Are you in it for the honey?
I'm in it for everything, really. Some people are in it for the money and the honey. Some people just like the social interaction. Some people keep bees purely for pollinating. They're more interested in the flowers and... you want to do a little bit for the environment. Myself, I love the honey. Myself and my wife are very keen beekeepers, and we're just mad about honey of all sorts. So it's a great social thing as well. Like, we started a new club last year in Letterkenny. There was a club here back in the 80s. But now, ourselves and a couple of friends started up a new club, and we've already got over 20 members. Without even trying to promote.
And were they active beekeepers, or are those people that joined with a view to becoming beekeepers, I wonder?
Initially, the first group were friends of ours who keep bees. And then word got out, and a few people have joined up who want to get into beekeeping. They want to do a beginner's course, for example, and learn all about it. So that's what we're here for.
Yeah, let's talk about honey for a little while, because, as I say, kind of... repeating myself a little bit, but you know, this is an amazing food stuff. I mean, they're finding honey from, you know, centuries ago that still, if it's not contaminated, it's still pretty good, right? And it's very different. The honey that you would have in your house from your bees would be very different to the honey I might buy in a squeezy bottle. So I think we need to talk about the qualities of honeys as well.
Yeah, that's a very serious point, Greg. Unfortunately, an awful lot of the honey that you buy in the shops is not real honey. If you read the label, it will say more than likely a blend of European and non-European honey. And that's a danger. That is serious. It should be banned, really, because they're bringing in stuff from China particularly that's not honey. It's syrup and it's blended with honey, and then they call that honey. And it's not honey.
Yeah. So you might think that you're in some way benefiting yourself, but this is a sweet, this is a confectionery product you're purchasing. This isn't honey.
Exactly. And you mentioned the health benefits of honey. If you're consuming local honey, pure honey, there is a health benefit. But some of the import stuff, if you're consuming that, thinking it's for your health, it could be doing the opposite. Mm. For example, if you're diabetic, and you're taking this honey that's half its sugar, that's going to have the opposite effect. It's not good for you. It's actually bad for you. So there are scientifically proven benefits of eating local honey. Children with hay fever, asthma can benefit.
Some allergies too.
A lot of allergies, skin problems.
Because you are taking, so we're not doctors, right? So we're not going to get into the ins and outs of it. But the logic is that you are consuming some of what may be triggering issues, right? So you know what I mean? It's like, I presume, and I'm saying this is not medical advice or anything, but if you are getting a vaccine to get something, right, you're getting a little bit of the something.
Exactly.
And that insulates you then from it in its raw state. I presume the role of honey is something similar to that. But again, just to clarify, neither I or I don't believe you're a doctor. But that's the logic here. So in terms of the types of honey, right? So you're based where, say, for instance?
Letterkenny.
Letterkenny, right? Oh, so you're Letterkenny, I'm Donegal Tan. The honey I produce from my bees, if I had them, is it going to be the same as your honey? In other words, what dictates it? Is it the plants off which the bees visit?
It is the plants, yeah. The bees go out to all, obviously, any flowers that are out there. So the flowers in my area could be different to the flowers in your area. Being in town actually is actually a benefit, believe it or not, because there's so many gardens and the people are growing a huge variety of flowers and trees.
So your honey doesn't taste of coal and petrol then, no?
Exactly. the bees will fly up to about three miles radius. That covers 27 square miles.
Unbelievable.
So it's quite a big area that they cover.
So let's talk about the makeup of a hive then, right? So people would be familiar with the sort of rectangularly on its end type box, okay? Within that, how many... There's one queen in a hive, is there?
That's right, just one.
And how many bees make up then a hive?
During the summer, it'll be up to about 50 or 60,000 bees in each hive.
Wow, okay. Right, so what's the role of the queen then, and what's the role of all the other bees? The queen is female?
The queen is female. Okay, we didn't always know that, actually.
But, right, okay. So we got microscopes. No, I'm only joking. Yep. So the queen stays in the hive, does it?
The queen lives in the hive all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is an egg-laying machine.
Okay.
They can lay 1,000 eggs a day. So that's her job, is only to... produce the next generation. So the rest of the bees are really a community. They have various roles to carry out, and they look after the queen as well. So they keep her nice and healthy, just keep her, as long as she's producing eggs, they'll keep her.
And if the queen dies, what happens to the hive?
They'll produce a new queen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, okay. No one's irreplaceable.
An extraordinary...
That's what they keep telling me here.
It's quite unreal what actually happens. From an egg that the queen has laid, they can make a new queen from that egg. Now, the egg is no different to any other egg. It's purely the diet they feed her on, which is royal jelly, which you've probably heard of. So she's fed on a diet of royal jelly, and this is produced as a bee that's about four times the size of a regular bee. So she's quite big.
Mm. So when in a hive, right, so you have the honey, right, and then there's a wax on the side of the honey. So what is happening there? What is nature doing there? Now, you're able to pull these slats out, obviously, and harvest that, but what do the bees think they're doing?
Well, the bees are producing food for themselves, mm-hmm. but they also produce an excess. And they're actually the only insect or actually only animal to produce more than they actually need.
Mm-hmm.
So the humans can harvest that for themselves without starving the bees. So we take some of it, and obviously we leave enough to get them over the winter. And then once spring comes again, the flowers are out, the bees are out.
They secrete the honey?
Sorry?
They secrete it?
What actually happens is they're collecting nectar from the flowers, and they bring that back to the nest, and they put that... it's actually carried in their stomach, and... they add some enzymes, that's all they add. And once they do that, they come back to the hive, they transfer that to the bees in the hive, and those bees put that nectar into little cells, which are made of wax. And then they fan it, and they evaporate the water off it, and they bring the water content down to about 17%, and then put a wax cap on. And as you mentioned earlier, once it's capped, it'll last for... hundreds, if not thousands,
if not contaminated, it's the only food source that will not perish. Isn't that correct?
Exactly. Well, okay. Once it's sealed properly.
Yeah, that's
it. If we put into a glass jar with a proper seal on, it could last 2,000 years.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So, it's fascinating. It really is. How many jars of honey, however you could judge this, would a hive produce a year? Do you think?
Oh, it depends on the season. Some last year.
A good year.
2022 was quite good. 21 wasn't so good. It just depends on the weather. Beginning of the year, if it's very wet, the bees aren't going out. Global warming's having an effect on it. Some flowers are coming earlier. So you could get 20 jars, you could get 50 jars. It just depends on the colony.
Okay, excellent. Okay, it's just to give a ballpark. Right now, in terms of beekeeping, a lot of the time it's the front loading maybe of the cost, right? So in terms of the gear that you'd need, a hive, a smoker, your protective gear.
Yep.
Then, of course, what a hive for bees, what, 200 or 300 quid, unless you might split one with me, I don't know. Are those, like, is that what you need to get going? Are those some of the cost and space, presumably?
We don't need a lot of space.
You don't or do?
No.
Okay.
A hive will take up a metre, for example, square metre. So you can really keep them in the back garden. But we don't recommend that you keep them in a housing estate where it might be annoying for neighbours.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be aware of...
It's like dogs, right? You might know if you don't go near them, they won't go near you. They're going to fly off and do their business. The buzzing, there's no harm in that. But if your neighbour doesn't like bees, this is going to be a problem. It's the same as a dog ownership or cat ownership,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Yeah. So you need to be able to put them in a good location where they won't be interfered with as well, because there is some vandalism as well, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
No, hives around the country, there's reports of hives being stolen. So you don't really want to be advertising where your bees are.
Right, well, we can talk about that off air. So you found a secret hideaway for your beehive, right?
Yeah.
Do all bees sting? Do they all carry a sting?
They do, yeah.
Right, okay. What happens when they sting? Do they die?
It does, unfortunately.
So they lose the backside and that's the end of
it,
right?
But they
won't generally attack people. They go about their own everyday business and they get to know you, don't they? I've known
Apparently,
people to keep
yeah.
bees that no longer that forego the protection because... they use a little bit of the smoke, if that's the correct terminology, and the bees become accustomed to them. Or is that a myth and they're just incredibly brave?
I don't think it's been proven scientifically yet.
Right,
there are things that people say that they don't like black, for example. Like, I had a beekeeper came into my garden and he was very protective of his head. And I said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "My black hair." And I said, "What?" And he said, "Well, they don't like black." And I have noticed myself, if you're wearing black gloves, like... washing up gloves or something. They seem to go for
them, right? But that's why I suppose it's like a canvas, generally whitey cream color. Then,
generally, yeah.
Right. So, is this so? If you tick the boxes, if you've got the time, right? What kind of time do you dedicate to? How many hives do you have?
We have 12 hives.
Right.
At
okay.
The moment,
so, what kind of time do you have to dedicate to them?
From the spring onwards, you need to be there every week. You need to inspect the hives for every week. Once a week.
Yeah, it's not a huge commitment.
No, so it's a commitment during the summer. Mm. Now, the winter time, you don't really do much.
They will stay in the hive for the winter?
A small cluster will stay in the hive. Most of them will die off.
But there'll be a,
cluster that they're there to keep the queen warm and keep the hive ticking over until the springtime.
Where are the eggs laid?
They're laid in the same type of cell that the honey is put
into.
But
they're separate to the honey cells.
Yeah. Okay. Well, generally in a what we call the brood box, the eggs are laid in the middle, and on the outside of the frame there will be cells containing the food.
Right. Okay.
So it's convenient for feeding the young larvae when they come out.
Because we talked about the benefits of the amazing properties of the honey, but the wax in itself is an amazing produce.
Yeah, wax is very useful. Obviously, you can make candles with it. My wife Svetlana, she makes some creams, face creams, with using wax and a few other ingredients.
Polish. It's an effective
polish. Great for. I do wood turning myself, and we use a wax polish.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Okay.
Wood.
Right. So. There is an initial outlay. What about ongoing maintenance of the, is it expensive to keep bees?
It shouldn't be. Once you're established and you have bought all the basic equipment, but it's like a lot of things, hobbies, you find more things to spend money on. they say if you want to make $1 million in beekeeping, spend $2 million.
Yes, okay. But you're going to be down $1 million. Right, okay. And... I think it's one of those areas too. There's a lovely community of, and you have done that through creating the association, but there's a nice community of beekeepers. I think you support each other. And
yeah, we've made a lot of very nice friends, good friends, new friends over the last couple of years. And that's the idea of starting the club here in Letterkenny, that we want to be able to reach out to other people who are starting beekeeping. to act as mentors and to help them along in their journey, in the beekeeping journey. Mm. And we're all very friendly and we all get on very well with each other. And we meet every month now. We have a meeting place down Chagas, down the High Road in Letterkenny. So they've given us a room free of charge. It's great. Mm. So we're starting a beginner's course now shortly. So we wanted to have our first public meeting is happening tomorrow night down in the station house. And we want people to, we really want to just tell them what is involved in getting into it before they commit. So there's a lot of things you need to be aware of.
Mm. Of course, like anything. I mean, but if you were taking up kayaking, you need a kayak, you need a paddle, you need a life vest, you need to know where you can go, you know what I mean?
Exactly,
so anything you want to participate in. But the thing is, and what's good about associations and groups and meetings, you don't have to figure it out for yourself because there are other people, friendly people like yourself and others who want to assist and offer advice and support and say, well, this is what you need or that's what you need or that's not suitable or, you know, I heard such and such is doing this, that and the other. I presume there's a good secondary market for a lot of the you know, hives and gear and what have you as well. So tomorrow night's meeting, Thursday the 2nd of March at 8 p.m. in the Station House Hotel. The association's meeting, new members are welcome to join. Now that's whether or not you're already keeping bees and you want to be part of a bigger group, or you're thinking of setting up a hive or two and you want to make connections with others in the community.
Exactly. We're there to answer all your questions.
Are you boring or good fun?
Sorry?
Are you boring or good fun?
Boring.
I use notes. I'm not stating it's a question. Are you as good fun or boring? I'd say he's a good fun.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Of course, and you see, you're interested in wood turning and all. It's kind of like it's, I think, yeah, this is not for everyone who's involved in big beekeeping, but does it, a certain type of person is involved in do you find that you're a lot of the people in the association have similar interests or maybe a similar outlook in life, or maybe we're all individuals and you don't see any patterns there?
I haven't seen any patterns yet myself.
Right, okay. So it's just turn up on the evening, is it?
Yeah, anybody's welcome to come along. We'll have some equipment to show. We'll have some honey if you want to taste it. Yeah, everybody's welcome.
Do you eat honey every day?
Every day.
And how do you eat it? Toast?
On my toast. I make scones myself and I like that with honey.
You didn't leave any in the kitchen, did you?
And everywhere we go on holidays, we come back with honey.
Yeah.
We're a little bit crazy that way. You wonder why we're buying honey, but like we've just come back from a holiday in Morocco and we brought back 4 jars of honey.
But is it any different to wine? Do you know what I mean? Like, no, but in terms of someone's interest in it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you've got, well, do you want to try Moroccan honey instead of the local honey? Is it any different than someone saying, you know, here's a nice glass of red from...
Exactly, yeah.
I don't think there really is any difference, really, you know. I think...
Well, we brought back 4 jars of honey and they're totally different. Each one of them is different. They come from, like our honey, local honey, is just from loads of different flowers.
Yeah.
But like in Eastern Europe and places in Africa, even in Morocco, like you have cactus honey because they have huge areas of cactus.
Yeah, of course. And that's the food
source.
So the
bees are there. They know, you know, it's cactus honey or it's thistle honey, for example.
See, for instance, if you wanted to, you talked about the scope of the flight of the bees. If you wanted to generate a particular type of honey, do you know what I mean? That it's primarily... it's primarily from one particular plant or what have you. Can you do that? Can you have that level of control? Because I know you talked about how far away the bees can fly, but if you have a good food source of a particular variety close to them, can you manipulate the type of honey they'll produce to some extent, I wonder?
To an extent, yeah. Like in springtime, you have the rapeseed.
Mm.
You know, you see these big yellow fields. Some people bring the bees there. So that only flowers for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So you're going to get rapeseed honey, which has a quite strong flavour.
Really? Okay. Is it a bitter flavour?
Yeah,
sweetness?
Not everybody likes it.
Okay,
even,
right.
You know. And then you got heather honey. So people would bring their hives up to the mountains where there's heather. And that is quite distinctive. It's not going to run, so it won't be liquidy. It's quite very, very thick.
Really? Okay.
And it's got huge health benefits. In actual fact, it's been proven to be better than Manuka, the famous Manuka from New Zealand.
Mm, okay.
They've done research in the universities in Dublin, and they've analysed everything that's in Manuka honey and what's in heather honey. And it was, the heather honey is actually better in some respects.
Well, it's great. So I can understand how you get into it.
Yeah.
And I can understand how you go to Morocco and come back with a couple of jars of honey as well. I get that. Do you sell your honey?
I do, yeah.
Because
yeah.
someone local's looking yeah. for 340 grams of honey. Yeah. Where do you sell it? Do you sell it from your own property or do you stock it somewhere?
I sell it from my own house. A lot of our neighbours buy it for their children.
So you're happy if we pass on your number to that?
Yeah, and okay. we also sell it on the health food shop, the natural way, pretty, in, okay. at the good. Shopping centre.
Honeybees compete with our native bees.
Well,
are they invasive or
no? We're actually keeping native bees,
and we're promoting. This is why it's good to read these questions.
Yeah, it's a good question because everybody in our club is supporting the native Irish black bee. It's a whole movement, a conservation movement, and we're actually members of the Native Irish Black Bee Association as well. I think I said that right. So we're promoting. The black bee, it was actually the black European bee, which has more or less died out in Europe. But they found that there are pure strains still in Ireland. So we're promoting keeping the pure bee.
Where are, a final question, I'll let you go then. You obviously use are keeping bees, but if there's obviously lots of bees out there in the wild, right? Yeah. Where do they build their own hives? Or
In... tree trunks, for example, hollowed out tree trunks.
So literally like Winnie the Pooh.
Yep. they find places, very unusual places, in people's houses, for example, in the attic. I have a friend who had bees in his attic for years.
Actual honeybees, like?
Honeybees, yeah. Yeah, lots of strange places.
Right, excellent. And low traffic areas, places where they're safe and all. The intelligence of it and the nature of it, even just creating a new queen and all—it's fascinating stuff, really.
I could talk all day, Greg.
Yeah, of course, of course. And it is. Listen, it really is really interesting. And you know what? I think it's something, Fergal, we should revisit or do a podcast or something, because as I think a lot of people are interested in this. It's just getting the pathway and the support to do it. You know, because
exactly.
it is something that was far more common in the past. Okay.
It was a little bit easier in the past. I mean, a lot of people, like farmers, would just have a hive. They didn't have to go near it until the autumn when they go in and take the honey.
Mm.
There was nothing to do before that. But now we've got diseases, and a lot of these diseases were imported with bees. People are importing
probably
bees.
Probably the bees that person was talking about there.
They brought in bees from Europe, and they crossbred them, and it's caused a lot of problems.
Well, that happened on our lakes as well with fish. People
exactly.
From mainland Europe who like to come here on holidays,
it's a big
importing
problem.
Fish, certain types of invasive fish, getting rid of your local brown trout, for example, and what have you. So it's not just in the bee community, but obviously they're flying around
it's
the place.
Same with squirrels and deer who were introduced here, and even plants. Some plants were a lot of plants introduced that are damaging to the environment.
Not weed, etc. Okay, Fergal, listen. I hope you have a great turnout. I'm sure you will at 8 p.m. tomorrow night in the Station House Hotel in Letterkenny. So it's a good location, nice and central for people coming in from different parts of the county. And we wish you every success. I'm fascinated by it. People can email nwbeekeepers@gmail.com. We've got other contact information here as well because people will know our number off the top of their head. All right. Well, I think we covered quite a lot there.
Great.
All right,
thank
Fergal.
You very much,
thank
Greg.
You so much. That's
thank
Fergal.
You.
Meganetti, chair of the Northwest Beekeepers Association. It's Wellness Wednesday, and in studio with us is Chris Ashmore. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, Greg.
It's great to have you with us. How are you keeping?
Very good indeed.
And you're very resplendent in your smoothie. Branded outfit. All right, bees is to one side. I still have the bees information in front of me. Chris, this is a bit of a departure for you, isn't it? Because people know you've had a long, illustrious career in newspapers. You obviously are a regular contributor to Highland Radio in the past and continued to be so. How did you then become an advocate and a trainer with this fitness product? Because I haven't seen it before, but that doesn't... We'll talk a little bit later on. Haven't seen it in Ireland before, but in much of Europe, people are very familiar with this. So do you, as much as you're comfortable with, tell us your pathway into becoming this person now.
Well, it all started several years ago. I was actually on holidays in the Canaries, and I saw a woman who was doing smoothie classes, and I went over and spoke to her, and I thought, well, this is something different. It's basically two tubular rings that have four steel balls.
I'll hold one up here. For listeners watching. And by the way, get on Facebook or YouTube, because Chris is going to give us a small demonstration of the work that he does. So I know most of you are listening, but if you want to watch, go online as well. This is the equipment. Sorry, continue explaining, Chris.
Yeah, so I met her on holidays, and I thought this is something quite interesting. I'd never seen anything like it before. And she gave me a bit of the background, and I actually bought a set off her the following day, took them back to Ireland. I subsequently did a training course, and then COVID came, which interrupted things. So put it all on the back burner for a couple of years, but it was always playing away at the back of my mind. And then last year, I suppose a few ducks lined up in a certain order, and between work matters and domestic matters. And I thought, well, do you know what? I think I'll give this a try. Timing in life is important for so many things.
But is it a part, it is kind of, maybe it's the who you are and this is the type of thing that you do, but for most people it'd be like, all right, things sometimes go a certain path in life, but this is just a huge change in direction.
Huge change, almost. Yeah. Well, I looked more and more into the product during COVID times and last year, and I thought, well, I'd always said I'd like to do something outside of primarily the print media before my retirement years. And I thought, well, it's a little bit of a leap of faith. And I looked, and there was a woman in Waterford who was the person who introduced it to Ireland, Irene Tracy, and another woman in County Meath. And I thought, well, do you know what? The whole Northwest is wide open to me. And I thought, I'll be kicking myself if I don't give it a try. And
so what drew you to the product initially then? Because on the... You know, you have to have a huge personal buy into something like this here, because you have to believe in it. You have to see the benefits of it. And then you have to feel in that way such to the extent that you can convince others of the benefits of it to them. So what is it about this system, if I could call it that, that you thought, right, OK, there's something here. And as you say, you know, west of Luxembourg, do you know what I mean? Go east. Yeah. Everyone's at it. To the west, they haven't discovered it yet.
Well, I think the main thing, and a lot of people who've seen it and used it would feel likewise, it's totally unique. It's a fitness tool, essentially. But what it does is it's a little bit of a cross between Pilates, circuit training, even weightlifting. Because the rings have four steel balls that vibrate in them, that sends a frequency up your arms. I'm not going to get too technical about it, but it stimulates the cells, it activates the muscles, and you actually can activate up to 97% of the muscles in the body. You do different exercises. It's low intensity. And a lot of people who have done Pilates have come to the classes, and they've seen, well, this is great. It's a combination of things. You can do it at home. You can do classes. And then... the story behind it also, which was interesting, the guy who invented them, Johann Salzwimmer, an Austrian, a very good tennis player and skier, he was actually diagnosed with Parkinson's disease back in the 1990s. And he was determined to prolong his mobility. So the original prototype was more or less like a head of a tennis racket, because he was very much into moving his arms and playing tennis. So it started off as something to prolong his mobility with Parkinson's disease. Then the science and the medical side of things kicked in. And then it evolved into an all-round fitness tool. As you mentioned there, it started in Austria. Austria borders Germany with 80 million people. So sort of 2014, it really took off. So the market was very much the German market. Mm-hmm. So when I looked at it first, a lot of it was in German, and I don't have German. So in more recent years, it's gone to English, and the company themselves, they're very ethical. Everything is about sustainability. The rings themselves that they manufacture are still in the hometown where it started. They could have outsourced it to China, but there's people with mild physical disabilities involved in the production process. So it all, it ticks so many boxes.
And is the benefit of these rings, the vibration and the activation of muscles, more so than the resistance, or are they offering resistance as well? Because in the brief time I was moving them, it kind of works with you and then it pulls against you, and not in any... not in any aggressive manner, but presumably there's a resistance element to it as well, is there?
Absolutely, and we hear a lot about resistance training at the moment. So depending on the moves, you can create resistance. And the thing is, you can do the classes, you can do them at home. There's YouTube videos, and I know people who... You know, one person who does 15 minutes at home every morning before they go to work, and it loosens you out. Mm. It's good also just...
And when we talk about activity, right, and people say you should do a certain amount of activity and the default's the walking, right, but that's not for everyone or dependent on the mobility or whatever. This is also activity. So that 15 minutes is your activity that the medics are saying that is good for you. 15 minutes of activity per day is going to add years to your life. There's actually a study about that quite literally in the papers today.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, back to the origins in Austria, where they have a lot of hill walking.
Yeah.
A lot of people use the rings. If you're going out for a walk, you take the rings with you, so you're getting a little bit of extra exercise without too much effort. And the word smoothie actually is swing, move, smile, and enjoy. So you put that all together, and it's low intensity. And, you know, from the age 3 to 93, there's a smaller version for kids. In Austria, they have them in schools because, you know, about getting kids mobile and active. Teenagers can use them. There's dance classes with Avita, high energy stuff. But probably the main core market, and what's evolved for me really is it's I'm concentrating on the fitness classes, sort of typically 45, 50 minutes. All ages can do it. And then, as I said, the
and I think in that, you're an element to it. The smoothie is an element to it, and then the group element is an element for motivational purposes as well.
Absolutely.
And the three align, don't they? And that's where that's why the classes are proving so so popular.
And again, today I heard a report earlier on today, you know, about the importance of socializing, and COVID, people were back in their homes and not doing things again. So there's the social side to it. And then, as I mentioned, the founder or the guy who started them all, he had Parkinson's disease. Now, the woman in Waterford, she has just purely gone down that road. So if anybody has any queries in that, I refer them to her because she does that full time. She specializes in that area.
So say someone like me at the moment or lately, probably age related, my back's just, my muscles are always tense in my back. You know what I mean? They tense up my shoulder blades, across the top, going up into the back of my neck. My posture here is terrible. I'm sitting to one side. I'm going to have pains in the back of my head from the muscles shooting up my back. I've been told I need to go and do Pilates and all that type of stuff. I'm going to do it eventually. Can't get round to it. Is this the type of product that would help someone in a similar situation to me?
Yeah, it's very good for the shoulders and the neck and loosening out. And if you're in an office job or you're sitting in front of a computer a lot, just some of the exercises you can do, and also you can use the rings. We might just show people later on, but you can actually use them as a massaging effect.
I'll tell you, there's a huge amount of people have actually joined to watch the show online, Chris. Do you want to maybe just give us a brief demonstration of some of the exercises for those that have June? And we can continue to
take these off.
Yeah, we can continue chatting as normal. Right, so for those listening only in the radio, Chris is standing up now with the two items, and you can hear the balls moving within them.
So that's just your general swing. But moving on from that, you can move your arms. You've got the resistance because they're up like this.
Yeah.
And then I mentioned the cognitive side of things. You can do things that one arm's going one way and the other arm's going the other way.
Yes.
That takes a little bit of concentration. And then when you start doing, you're moving one leg up and down. And it might look quite easy, but when you actually go to do it...
Simply holding your arms out for any length of time can get tiring quite quickly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then you can go down and doing exercise.
And what are you working there? Is you sort of doing a lunge and swinging your arms?
So you can feel it on the legs as well as on the arms. And then there's all sorts of moves going like this. So we have a couple of golfers in the classes like that. And obviously when you're going out with your arms up, there's more resistance.
Is that working on your core strength as well, then?
Working on your core strength. You can also do a certain amount of exercises on the floor. And then as a to loosen out the muscles, you can even do your shoulders. It's good for just...
I get you. That's what I'm talking about.
And also, even like a foam roller, you use them on your legs. And that helps in that regard as well. So it ticks a lot of boxes. You can use it at home.
Sit down again there. And I'll tell you what it looks like too, is that I can see someone who is very new to exercise being able to do some of the, at a level that suits them, doing some of the less energetic stuff. But you can really actually go to town with that as well at the same time. You stick some music on in the background, Chris, and you are getting out of breath and working up a sweat very quickly if you want to go at it intensively.
Absolutely. And it's not hard on the joints. It's low intensity. But if you want to give it a little bit of welly, absolutely, yeah. You can go as intense
as
you want.
See, someone like me, I love the outdoors, right? But I'm not a great walker. So I love mowing the lawn, right? Because I'm actually doing something as I'm doing it, right? And then there's the satisfaction afterwards. And to me, it's not like exercise, but I feel invigorated after it. So you can see how much exercise I've done this winter. So in other words, this item, right, and through the classes or through self-motivation, you're not just stretching, you're doing something in the process as well. And I think that, you know, we're quite simple as human beings. I think that in a way it assists in staying active and exercising.
Absolutely. And it's the simplicity of it. Like people who, there was one woman last week who came down to have a look at a class. She then joined in and she actually bought a set of rings at the end of it, because it's when you do it and you see the just how many aspects and the variety that is there. There's actually an aqua version for in the swimming pool, because obviously you've got the resistance under the water as well. And the company smoothie.com, the website, there is an English language version of it. Obviously, it's based in Austria, but it has a ton of information on it.
And just to give people an idea of again, hundreds of you have tuned in to watch this on our various platforms. That is the sites of trainers, is it? How would you describe that?
Yeah, to qualify in order to teach a class, you have to be a trainer.
Right, now look at Ireland.
And just
look at Spain. I'd move to Spain, Chris.
Yeah, so...
Could you sub me something else? But the point, the reason to demonstrate that is,
it's
in
very
and around,
popular.
In and around where it was established, it's absolutely everywhere. And people are adapting now or adopting in different parts. And you in the Northwest here, you're the man, you're the person. Yeah. Okay. Chris, if anyone wants any more information.
Yeah, I have a Facebook page. Fit Moves Ireland is the name of it. Fit Moves Ireland. I have a website, which is coming down the line. Now, the company controls things very carefully, so I'm not allowed to use the word smoothie actually in my own website. So it's all very carefully controlled from a quality point of view, but they have been great, and I've had one-to-ones on Zoom with the chief executive. And also, Greg, just like to thank the local enterprise office in Donegal. I've had some dealings with them. Evelyn McGlynn doing some mentoring for me. And for me, it was a new departure. And I'm certainly going to be doing more with the local enterprise office. And as you know, and on your program, like there are a lot of supports out there, and I've availed of a few, and hopefully we'll avail of more.
Too, and with people who want to get involved in this, it's clear your belief and enthusiasm in this, and they can come along for the ride with you on that, and be part of potentially a new movement here in the Northwest. Chris, listen, it's been great having you on.
Thank you very much.
We wish you nothing but success. I don't know if you do online classes, but as soon as you started... the social media blew up, so there's a great interest in that element of it as well. But for now, thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
People can get onto the Facebook and find out where classes are, where the product's available and all that. We wish you nothing but success. Congratulations, Chris.
Business Matters, in association with ATU Donegal's Faculty of Business. If you're an owner or manager in a food production business, consider the new one-year Level 8 Higher Diploma in Food Business and Product Innovation. It's just one three-hour lecture weekly. Call 918-6600 or email gary.mcgill@atu.ie.
Right, I'm contractually obliged to say, Kieran, it's great to have you on the show. Kieran, good morning to you, Kieran.
I'm contractually obliged to say, how are you, Greg, and good morning.
Okay, that means the latest Business Matters podcast is available for you on our website. And Kieran, always good enough to give us a roundup of some news before we talk about the podcast. Let's start with news on the Donegal Local Enterprise Week, Kieran.
Yeah, 23 separate events, Greg, are taking place across the county as part of the Donegal Local Enterprise Week. And that runs from Monday, March the 6th to Friday, March the 10th. So Donegal businesses are being encouraged to take advantage of an array of events that are on. Over the 5 days, it will be launched on Monday morning in the Radisson Hotel in Letterkenny with a panel discussion that will be chaired by the well-known broadcaster and businessman Bobby Kerr. And from memory, I think Paul McNulty and Larissa Finney, two local business people here, are among the panel.
And brilliant. As you just heard by coincidence from Chris a little earlier on, if you've an idea or what have you, there's so many different outlets that you can get assistance, support and what have you. ATU Open Day.
Yeah, latest Open Day is taking place this Saturday, March the 6th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's aimed at Leaving Cert students, mature students and those looking to upskill. At this event, Greg, ATU's career officer, Catherine Lister, is going to give a talk on choosing the correct programme stroke career path for you. And to register, check at Donegal ATU's social media platforms for more details.
It's great to have access to someone who's an expert in that field. Use this phrase again, to help you see the wood from the trees. It can be difficult, you know, you can feel frustrated, you want to do something, you can set up your own barriers, you know what I mean, like just to speak
to someone. It's that category
that
are in the not know, and there are a lot of people who don't know, which is good for them too, but at least, as you say, this will definitely be a big help for them, you know.
Briefly referenced by the new president of the Chamber, Fionnuala, a little earlier on, a meet-up event took place in Carrigart.
Yeah, it was the latest meet-up event down in GTEC in Carrigart, and business community members from Milford, Carrigart, Downings, Fannin, Creasla attended. It was a four-hour event. I was speaking to Maurice Hayes briefly yesterday and it went extremely well.
Yeah, brilliant. Now Aer Lingus profits taken off again.
Yeah, after 2 years of losses as a result of the pandemic, Aer Lingus recorded an operating profit before exceptional items of €45 million for 2022. Just to note, its operating profit in 2019 was €276 million.
Yeah, and you could do a deep analysis on that, how quickly Ryanair bounced back, but how they kept connections with all of their staff during the pandemic and maybe Aer Lingus having to make up a bit of time and their bounce back somewhat slower, but still decent to be turning a profit. Optima hosting an open evening. I'm seeing a lot of Optima in different places at the moment, Kieran.
Yeah, the latest open evening, Greg, is happening this evening between 4:30 and 7:30. So those who attend what's going to be an in-person careers event will learn about opportunities available across technology, analytics and business operations. They'll also have the opportunity to network directly with hiring managers and to discover more about the company. So it is a new, relatively new departure about companies put themselves out there and saying, look, come and see what we can offer. And we're open for business in terms of new hires as well, which is good news.
All right. That's it then. So the news wise, let's talk about the podcast this week.
Yeah. On this week's Business Matters, Greg, I'm joined by the Managing Director of iHeating and Cooling Limited, Fabian McShane. A qualified plumber and fitter, Fabian's background is in engineering, air conditioning and refrigeration. He set up iHeating and Cooling Limited in 2017, which specialises in air-to-water heat pumps. And during our chat, I asked Fabian what the best lesson he'd learned in business.
I suppose the best lesson is don't give too much credit, you know, and people have told me over the years, and this is something that's not easy to do for a small business starting up, credit, you know, can you know, you need to give X amount of credit to people to do business, but credit to a small company, and this is not even given credit, but not even that is taking too much credit as well, can be in the same boat. If you don't owe too much money, it's not hard to pay it, you know. So small plumbers or small people, you know, companies coming to us looking to get X amount of units, you know, without, you're not doing them any favour. You know, you're better to try and keep on top of that for their sake. not for your sake. So I think that was one of the, you know, one big lesson that you learn, you know, is credit is it's needed, but it's not really any good to anybody.
All right. What was your takeaway from this this item, Kieran?
Fabian is a native of Kilcare. He went to secondary school in Carrick, and he came to Letterkenny to work for his uncle, Bartley Bourne, out of Trimra. Trimra were starting out Trimra precast products, and as he said himself at that stage, it was all done by hand. They hadn't a forklift. He worked there for a couple of years, then he moved in and he became a qualified plumber and fitter. Got into refrigeration, air conditioning and refrigeration transport. Spent a lot of years in that area and set up this company, which is a relatively new company, back 6 years ago. So air to heat or air to water heat pumps, it's a new way or an alternative heating system that people are looking at, Greg. And I suppose the one thing we did say when I was talking to Fabian, everybody is interested in it. Once you mention an alternative way to heat your house or a different way that's maybe going to be make it more cost effective or more economically friendly, you know.
Yeah, okay. Fascinating, as always, Kieran. All different types of business brains that you tap in and different stories. That podcast is available for you right now on our website, highlandradio.com. So it's there at the moment, just in the news stories section, but that will drop away as the news team and the sports team add their stuff. So best go straight to the playback section, the on-demand section, and it's there for you, and loads of previous episodes as well. And it's also available for you wherever you get your podcasts, if that includes Spotify and iTunes. And it's broadcast later on today as well, isn't it? It's broadcast on Sunday as well, Kieran.
Sunday evening, yes, Greg, after the 6 o'clock news.
And if people wish to get in touch with you, how do they do so?
Just drop me an email, please, businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
All right, Kieran, listen, have a lovely week, and we'll look forward to chatting to you next Wednesday. Kieran O'Donnell there. Presenter of the Business Matters podcast. Now, before we go this evening or this afternoon, or in fact, let's talk about this morning because that's what it is. We are, as you know, promoting the Irish Music Month competition. We had over 80 entries, one of the biggest entries of all local radio stations in the entire country. And we have selected our four finalists. They're in the Irish Music Month Song Competition. Next week, all four of these acts are going to sing live, perform live on the 9 till noon show. And then on Thursday, we're going to give you an opportunity to vote for your favourite. And then your votes, along with an independent panel, will determine the winner. Now, the acts that have been selected have already won a fantastic prize, but the winner goes on to compete at a national event and will compete to win €5,000 prize money, €5,000 worth of music equipment, and huge national exposure. So we're overwhelmed and delighted with the response, but we're extra delighted with the quality of our finalists. So here's an opportunity for those of you who weren't listening last Friday to have a listen to a small sample of our finalists and to whet your taste buds for them all performing live on the show next week.
Irish Music Month Finalist 1.
Aussie Knee Arcade.
'Cause I'm right back where I started, untouched and unbroken hearted, and I'm trying to make a sound. Life is moving way too fast, and I just wanna make it last, but I can only watch behind the glass. Seeing all the fun they have, I just wanna understand, but I can only watch behind the glass.
Irish Music Month Finalist 2.
Charles, James and the Rise, Elephants.
We've all got a cross to bear, hidden hurt, deep despair, dreading war, gasp for air. It's life's sweet imperfections. Give me hope. Black dogs barking louder now. The elephant's got my chest bent down. Paralyzed by nothing at all. Arise, convinced that I'm bound to fall. this life, these dreams.
Irish Music Month, finalist 3.
Midnight Preachers, Mirrors.
Don't look back. Girl, you know you're only singing the blues. Oh, don't leave me in the dark. Drown for you. Broken glass at our feet. Guys, we both know it won't last if we keep dancing.
Irish Music Month. Finalist 4.
Boy M5, Pressing Mountains.
Starting chapter, my mind's reading faster. The words that I craft, it's like I never loved before. Healed a heart that was fractured, like an angel I've captured. She's right for the rapture.
All right, that's Boy M5, in no particular order, fourth of our four finalists. I think we have managed to select four amazing songs there. Did you have a favourite? Text in 086 60 25,000. That's just for fun, though, because the voting is not opening until next Thursday. But the exciting thing is next week, all four acts will perform live on the 9 till noon show. And I think whomever you select, we have a fantastic opportunity to see a Northwest-based act win that national competition. As I say, they win €5,000 cash, €5,000 in equipment, and huge national exposure. And I think any of those four songs, and I mean this genuinely, I think any of those four songs would be worthy of being playlisted on any radio station. Back with you tomorrow morning at 9.